Now, today, back to this week, we begin our study of the Gospel of John. Over the next few months, maybe years, okay, here at Cornerstone, on Sunday morning, we will make our way through the Gospel of John, chapter after chapter, verse after verse. As always, exegetical notes will be prepared for you each week so that if you are faithful, you can compile your own commentary on the Gospel of John through the next several whatevers. The goal of our study is to leave you all fully informed about what John has to say. Now, I need to just tell you that also implies cooperation from you in the process. See, if you miss a week, you lose a piece. Okay? However, just for the record, the exegetical notes and the sermon on those notes is always available to you online. So if you can't be here, which you should be, by the way, but if you can't, you don't have to miss a piece. You can pick it up by going to whatever the website is. There you go. Cornerstonefellowship1.org. Somebody knew. I'm surprised. Okay, here we go. Now, what I need to tell you before we actually get into the text is that John, the author of the Gospel of John, sees it all from a different point of view. He's looking at the story of Jesus Christ, but he sees it differently. He does not tell us the story of Jesus' earthly ministry from the same perspective as does Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, basically, to explain that, what you need to understand is that John is a Greek thinker. The other gospel writers are Hebrew thinkers. So John's approach, because he thinks like a Greek, is more philosophical, more given to the reason behind things, and less to the storyline than is Hebraic thought. Hebrews think in pictures. Okay, Greeks think thoughts, linear thoughts. Now, what I need to tell you, however, is even though he sees it differently, John is equally evangelistic. His purpose, like that of the other gospel writers, is to convince people, in this case, those who are not given to Hebrew thought patterns, to convince them that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Now, I'm going to tell you up front, if you do not want to hear the good news that Jesus saves you, you're going to want to absent yourself from Cornerstone for the next however long. Because what John's going to do is tell us, like the other gospel writers do, that there is no other way to the Father except through the Son, Jesus Christ. So if you want there to be some other way to the Father other than through Jesus, you just need to go to some other church because you're not going to find it here. If you want salvation to be found by any other name than the name of Jesus, you might as well go somewhere else because that's not what you're going to hear here. If that's what you're expecting, you're not going to like the next several years' sermons based on the Gospel of John because that's what John is going to tell you from the first verse to the last. Though he thinks about things differently and sees it from a different point of view, truth is still truth. And the message which comes from John's gospel is the same as the message which comes from the other three. Salvation comes through no other name. The way to the Father is through the Son. That's what John is going to tell us. Now, in the verses that were just read to you, the first few verses from John's gospel, John tells us a whole bunch of stuff. We could probably spend at least 6 months on the first 18 verses of the gospel. Don't worry, the sermon's not going to be that long. I'm going to summarize it for you. Here's what he tells us. John tells us, number one, that Jesus always was. He tells us, number two, that Jesus stood with God at the moment of creation. He tells us, number three, that Jesus left the glory of the Father behind him to take upon himself flesh and become human. He tells us that Jesus lived among us and that Jesus is the light of the world. He tells us that Jesus came to show us the love which God the Father has for us all. He tells us in those first verses that Jesus is light, that Jesus is truth, and that Jesus displays the love of God in flesh. John declares that all the unusual historic events that surrounded the birth of Jesus, the story that is so clearly spelled out for us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about the barn and the wise men and all that stuff, he tells us that it happened so that we would know that God had come, literally broken into history, altering the course of human events so that, excuse me, idiot people like you and me could get saved. Now, the Gospel of John opens with significant words. It says, in the beginning. It is the echo of the very first words of the Hebrew Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the book opens with the words, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But John introduces into the whole philosophy of it the concept of the Word. Now, I just want to tell you, when you see the Word spelled, when it has a direct object, the, in front of it, okay, it means something other than just Word. When the Word is capitalized, it's specifically referenced to Jesus Christ. Okay? When the W in the Word is not capitalized, it's a reference to the Scripture. And we often become confused about what's being said here. But it's very clear. Every time you see that W capitalized, we're talking about Jesus. You see it down the little one, we're talking about the Bible. Okay? Now, what he says, he introduces the concept of the Word. It's a Greek concept of logos. The Greek word logos is a difficult little word to get around, but a truly significant biblical concept. Now, in its simple form, logos means words. I'm speaking words to you. Okay? When you think, you are thinking in words. The words that we use to communicate with each other is the simple meaning of the Greek word logos. And most frequently, when you see the Greek word logos in the Bible, it's talking about speech, thought, that kind of thing. But it can also mean the reason of cause. That is the reason which brought something into being, or the actual agent which caused an event to happen. You getting that? Maybe not. When John says, in the beginning was the Word, he is using the more complicated meaning of the Greek word logos. He is not saying that they're just words. He is saying that the Word was the causal agent behind creation. The thing that made it happen. And he wants us to understand that the Word which made things happen at the moment of creation was Jesus Christ. He is the Logos, the Word of God, which was the agent through which or by which God brought the world and the universe into its proper order. He wants us to understand that Jesus Christ was the agent God used to create the world and the universe and the earth and everything. Are you with me? John is playing with us. He is building on the Old Testament's constant, repeated creation formula. It says in the book of Genesis, the first chapters over and over again, God spoke. Now, when you speak, folks, what do you speak? Words, the simple meaning of the Logos. So God spoke using words, the simple meaning of Logos, and it was so, the scripture says. So God spoke the world into being. And the agent of creation was the Word of God, and that word which God used was the more complicated meaning of Logos, Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Here's the point. You ready? Listen to me. Listen. This is so cool. So philosophical, so Greek, so reasoned. Jesus did not suddenly happen when the Holy Spirit visited the Virgin Mary. Now, you could clearly get that concept from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You could read them and think, oh, God had a new idea. Let's do Jesus. Boop, Mary's pregnant. Okay? But that's not what John is telling us. John wants us to understand that Jesus always was. Jesus was the agent through which the universe as we know it was brought into being. Now, I want you to know, you may not get this, but that is one huge, very important theological, philosophical concept. Jesus was not an accident, not an afterthought. He always was with God, and Jesus stood with God right beside him at the moment of creation. As John boldly declares, all things, no exception, everything, all things were made through him. And without him, Jesus, nothing was made that was made. Jesus always is, and Jesus is with God, the author of it all. You see it? Mm-hmm. Now in Genesis 1:2, it says that prior to the act of creation, the earth was formless and empty, and it was covered with darkness. It says it. The first act of creation was light. God said, let there be light. And Jesus, the agent, flooded the world with light. And the scripture says, and it was good. John says that Jesus, the Word, the Logos, is the light of men. He says that Jesus shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. See, it was the knowledge of light, the knowledge of the Son of God, which flooded the earth in its formlessness and filled it with the knowledge and glory of God. It was Jesus who stood with God, who was the light. But still, to this moment, the world, the created order, does not comprehend the light. It doesn't understand that everything that exists was made by Jesus, the light who flooded us with the knowledge of God. In fact, if you ask the people of this world today how it all happened, they will give you the answer of darkness. They'll say it was a cosmic accident. And Jesus is a myth. But Jesus himself is the light, which flooded the earth at the time of creation. He is the light which opens our eyes so that we can see the truth, so that we may know that he is indeed what he proclaims to be, the light, the truth, the way. John says that Jesus was sent to tell the world, John says that John was sent to tell the world that the light has come. Jesus, the Word, left his glory in heaven to come to earth to spread the light that humans might see the truth. John says he came to his own people, to the Jews, but they did not see him as light. So he turned to all of us who would believe. He came and lived among us, the glory of the Father in flesh, so that we might see the light of truth with which he himself flooded the world as the first act of creation. And John, lucky John, was commissioned by God to tell us through the writing of the gospel all that about Jesus. From the beginning, those who believed have received blessing upon blessing. For we know the truth, and our world is flooded with light. He, Jesus Christ, the Logos of God, is the only way to the Father. He is the truth come to bring us salvation. He himself is the light of the world by which we are led into the grace of the Father. In him and in him alone, we see the fullness of God's grace, truth, and we know the depth of God's love. And that's what John declares to be so in the first 18 verses of his gospel.